Johnston and Johnston versus Conseco. John Jerk. Mr. Walter?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, Jason Walters for Conseco Life Insurance Company, the appellant in this case. At its heart, this case boils down to one very simple, straightforward issue that predominates in this appeal. And that is, under the terms of this flexible premium policy, when was a premium required to be paid? A very straightforward issue. The district court found that a premium was due and required to be paid on December 12, 2010. There is absolutely no support for that in the policy, and the district court cited none. For that reason, the district court's ruling was an error and is due to be reversed. And I'd like to go into this in quite a bit more detail. The policy at issue in this case is a flexible premium life insurance policy. Unlike a term life policy or a whole life policy, this policy did not have fixed premium due dates. In fact, the exact opposite was true. That's why it's called a flexible premium policy. The policy allowed the policyholder to determine when and how much premium to pay. The policyholder could pay $100,000 in a given year or not. Of course, that does not mean that the policyholder has free insurance for life. We all can suspect that. What the way the policy works is it has a cash value. And every month, there is a deduction from the cash value that sustains the policy. That is called a monthly deduction. The policy provides that when the cash surrender value is no longer sufficient to cover that monthly deduction, the policyholder is then required to pay a premium within 61 days, or otherwise the policy will terminate. And that is how the policy works. Nowhere in the policy does it require that a premium to have been paid on December 12, 2010. Nowhere in the policy did it require for a premium to be paid prior to the grace period, which is what that 61-day period is referred to in the policy. Now, what Jay and Johnston and Johnston has argued, Johnston and Johnston is a partnership, and what it has argued on appeal is that the court should look to generic definitions of the term grace period, which usually follow a due date, and therefore conclude that there was a due date prior to the grace period. But the fact that Johnston & Johnston is resorting to citing generic dictionary definitions of the term grace period, when there is an entire paragraph in the policy under the heading grace period that specifically addresses the grace period, Johnston & Johnston does not cite that. This case is more of a case about contractual interpretation than statutory interpretation. Here, the question is, when was Johnston & Johnston required to pay a premium? That is a contractual issue, and we should look to the contract to determine that. It's a very simple question. When was a premium required to be paid? Under the terms of the policy, a premium was not required to be paid until the end of the grace period. There was no fixed premium due date. And this is consistent with a case that's already been decided in Louisiana. It was decided in the Western District. It's called the Turner v. OM Financial case, cited at length in our brief. In that case, the court referred, that case involved a flexible premium policy, like the one in this case. In that case, the court referred to the end of the grace period as the due date. And indeed, in this case, when Conseco Life sent out the notices that it was required to send, It specifically said due date, February 11, 2011. That was the end of the grace period. In the Turner case that I mentioned, the court in that case found that the insurance company did not satisfy the statute because that grace notice was sent 60 days before the end of the grace period. In other words, the insurer, according to the Turner court, sent it too early. In this case, unlike in Turner, Conseco Life not only sent the 61-day grace notice, it also sent a grace notice on January the 6th, 2011, 36 days before the grace period expired, squarely within the 15 to 45-day window called for in the statute. The district court, in its opinion, relied on an Illinois case called Time Insurance Company v. Vick. In that case, however, it involved a term life insurance policy that had a fixed premium due date. It is completely an opposite to the case before the court here. In addition, the Illinois statute specifically required that the notice had to go out before the grace period. There is no such language in the Louisiana statute. And with respect, it would be improper for this court to write that language into the Louisiana statute. Instead, the Louisiana statute should be interpreted as written. And I think Johnston & Johnston on appeal must agree with that analysis because Johnston & Johnston did not cite the Vick case, which was one of the cornerstones of the district court's ruling. And to that point, I think it's important to note that in the complaint when it was first filed and in all the summary judgment briefings, and there were a lot of them, we had cross motions for summary judgment, Johnston & Johnston never argued that a premium was required to be paid on December 12th. Johnston & Johnston argued that the operative date for calculating notice under the statute was October the 12th, 2010. The district court then sua sponte found that the December 12th date was the operative date, even though neither party had asserted that date. The reason neither party had asserted that date is because there is no basis in the policy for finding that a premium was due or payable on that date.
Has any premium been paid since all of this?
No premium has been paid. There is a dispute between the parties regarding an attempt to pay a premium. Johnston & Johnston contends that its accountant called the insurance company after the policy terminated, and I forget the exact language in his affidavit. His affidavit is in the record, but basically called about finding out how much premium to pay to bring the policy in force, and he was informed that the policy had terminated and under the unique facts of this case had been placed on a death benefit extension. And we explained that in the brief. It was a result of a prior class action settlement that after the policy terminated, the insured was entitled to 183 days of additional coverage, during which time it was not allowed to make a premium payment. But there was not a premium sent to Conseco Life Insurance Company. In addition, Johnston & Johnston refers heavily to the Boring case. It was a 1923 Louisiana Supreme Court opinion. In that case, however, the court actually found that the notice period should be calculated from the termination date. In Boring, the insured had paid 50% of the premium payment and then signed a promissory note for the balance. And in other words, the insurance company gave the insured extra time to pay a premium. The court then found that even though the insured had been provided extra time, and even though the insurance company had provided notice prior to the previous due date, during that extra time, the insurer was still required to provide notice under the statute. Well, here, Johnston & Johnston is contending that the grace period constitutes extra time during which to pay a premium. Under the Boring case, the Boring case actually supports Conseco Life's argument that notice sent during the grace period is proper. And it can't be emphasized enough here that under the terms of this policy, there was no obligation to pay a premium until after the grace period began, and it had to be paid before the end of the grace period. If anything was past due, it was the monthly deduction. But it is abundantly clear from the language in the policy